When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
Hey, the Bird Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
Go Pirates, go!
Go Pirates, go!
Hey, 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 hey,
hey. Gee, matey. Dude, but what if they do beat Washington State in a massive upset?
Will not happen.
It'd be a miracle. I need a miracle.
Especially on the road. There is no way they're winning that game.
There is one thing you are not going to see Denzel Washington do in the new Gladiator 2 film, even though it was filmed. And it all has to do with the filmmakers cutting one specific scene.
Nudity.
No, but wouldn't that be nice? I mean, if we got to see it, not that they cut it.
Yeah.
No, not nudity. They actually cut one scene where he shared a same-sex kiss, but he said that it was cut from the film.
I actually kissed a man in the film, but they took it. They cut it. I think they got chicken.
I was going to ask because I just heard about the Paul and Pedro forehead kiss that apparently got cut from the movie.
I'm not sure about that one, but I kissed the guy full on the lips, and I guess they weren't ready for that yet.
Oh, man. Well,
I killed him about 5 minutes later, but
he did what?
I mean, it's
funny. The kiss of death.
Oh, in the movie. Okay.
Well,
I
thought he was making a joke. So let's say you got a guy, and I don't want to sound homophobic here, but there are guys that would fight this, right? So let's say Denzel was one of those guys. He's like, okay, it's in the script. I'm a professional. Let's go at it. And then they cut it out. You are mad.
I would be pissed. I would be livid.
So I'm going to tap the smart one of the show, Cassie. Did bathhouses not originate in Rome and in the Roman era times?
Yes.
So this would be, yeah, like if you're being historically accurate, that would, like, that should stay in the movie.
It's not right, actually. It, they started right here on Buford Highway.
Oh, my bad. Let me hit up, you know, Rand McNally Nast or whatever textbook people and tell them they're wrong.
Well, speaking of the Gladiator 2 film, I know a lot of people are really excited to see it. It comes out on the same day as Wicked, so people are calling it Glicked or Wickediator. And
I like Wickediator better than Glicked. Somebody's trying to make Glicked happen on social media, but I like Wickediator.
Water and oil. They should not be put together.
They can't. Oh, right.
They don't work.
They're stretching. They're stretching on this Barbenheimer idea. It can't work.
Yeah.
Glicked.
That sounds like something on a different website you'd be watching.
Don't go to Glicked.com.
And don't go to Wicked.com. That was a story a while. Did you see that?
Uh-uh.
So they put out all these, I think they were Mattel dolls. They were like Barbie dolls to promote the film. And they had an error on the back where they had the website Wicked.com. But Wicked.com is an adult film website, I believe.
It is.
Instead of like the movie film, which I think is like Wicked Film or something that's more specific. So don't go to Glicked.com and don't go to Wicked.com.
See, when you're the guy that made that mistake, when the boss calls you into the office, you're like, we don't need to waste each other's time. I know what's happening. Okay, I'm just going to leave.
And then to take it one step further. So I have a friend that shared this in her Insta story. And apparently there are people out there talking about conspiracy theories that that Mattel did this on purpose, trying to get at our kids.
At our kids?
What?
To taint our children with these.
You said taint.
I did say taint.
Interesting choice of words.
Like, it wasn't an accident, like, that it was purposefully put on the back of the Glinda doll and the Elphaba doll that the Wicked.com was put there because they are trying to corrupt our children.
Oh,
no way.
She shared that in her, like, that is a conspiracy theory that is floating around.
Yeah. It's so tiny on the back of the package. If they did anything, it's to boost sales from adults trying to buy it. So it's because it's a collector's item.
Yeah, it's the same conspiracy theory people like Jackson who think Helen Keller never existed.
He thinks she existed. She just wasn't all that.
Yeah, she just
she was mean.
Yeah, she had amazing eyesight. could hear for miles. That's what Jackson was thinking a couple of weeks ago. We set him straight, though.
We did. It is just crazy because think about the approvals process that any item to get out there has to go through. How did nobody catch this?
I know.
Nobody think, oh, hey, that's actually the wrong website?
That could be the only reason why the conspiracy theorists would say, like, it has some kind of validity, because it seems so ridiculous that it could pass through all those lines of defense and actually happen.
I like Cassie's idea that they knew what they were doing because we'd be talking about it and then there'd be more eyes and people would buy the doll with the wicked.com on the back just to say they got one of the tainted ones.
Yeah, people fall into two camps, either really, really stupid or really, really crafty. So it's either to drive sales or it's just dumb people missed it.
Mm. All right, Lana Del Rey is responding to screenshots between social media accounts and make it look like she body shamed Lizzo. I'm going to explain on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
Hey, The Burt Show.
I know you guys talked about this earlier, but I just saw the video and I gotta chat with you guys about this. Mike Tyson ain't messing around no more. We were talking about this boxing match going down this weekend between Mike Tyson, who is 58 years old, and he's taking on the number one YouTuber, I think, in the world, which is Jake Paul, who has now become one of the best marketers in the world also, right? And he's become a boxer, and he's done pretty well. He's had 11 fights. He's won 10 of them. And he's taken on the guy that, you know, 30, 40 years ago was a vicious, vicious person. But, you know, the dude's almost 60 years old now, right? So people were wondering, is this a real thing or is this just for money so Mike can make $20 million and Jake Paul will be introduced to an older audience? He's going to make a ton of cash also. But based on that press conference yesterday that you guys talked about earlier, Mike's not messing around no more.
Listen, Jake, if you follow the promotion of the fight, you realize, like you said, he's a genius marketer. There's been a lot of antics. He's done a lot of things that get under Mike's skin. And I think Mike has done his best to be a good sport for as long as he could. And it's over now. The games are done.
I think Mike is aware of his legacy. I mean, he really does go down as one of the top five boxers of all time. And I think for his legacy, he doesn't want to go out like this. So last night when they had this press conference, where you usually see like boxers pushing each other to get people interested in the fight, Jake comes in there and does some kind of squirrely clown-like behavior where he comes in like a spider almost and then goes right to Tyson's face. And I think he might have stepped on Tyson's foot.
He stepped on his foot.
Stepped on his foot. And Tyson just, I think out of instinct, slapped him across the face with a right hook, and I think it stunned everybody.
Yeah, because Mike didn't have shoes on, so when he stepped on his foot, I think it hurt Mike. He stepped on his toes, and I guess if you've been fighting your whole life, that's your reaction is to end. That was a nice slap.
He
really turned Jake his head around.
So I haven't watched it. How did Jake react?
He was like, he was just like, good for you. You hit me. Because yesterday, you remember, we were talking about the press conference and Mike was over it. Like, they're asking questions to both of these guys. And Jake wants there to be tension. And Mike was just not playing into it yesterday or 2 days ago at all. So Jake even said during the press conference, you're a boring old man now. And Tyson, no reaction at all. So getting the reaction yesterday probably was good for Jake Paul.
I think it was better for Jake because he needs it to be personal. He needs that extra edge and he needs to get under Mike's skin, and he has finally done it.
I think you said it best yesterday. I have to set my alarm for 11:30 p.m. tonight, right?
Yeah, it's tonight. Fight is tonight. And I told Kristen that I didn't have a lot of faith in Mike because of his age, even though I love him and I want him to win. But that slap,
it was fast.
I got a little more confidence.
Dude,
now.
It was quick.
It was
something. Yeah, man. Yeah. Okay.
I just watched.
it
all happened very, very fast.
Jake Paul never saw that thing coming at all, man.
But did you also see, like, Mike slapped him and then he also punched down low like he was going to get him in the jump.
It's a 1-2. It's just automatic for Mike.
It's pretty impressive. It'll be a fun, if you're my age, you want Tyson to win so badly because you have watched him your entire life and you've kind of gone on this up and down journey. When you consider where he came from, Abby, you probably don't know his story, but he came from like the worst neighborhood in New York City. I mean the worst. If you watch his documentary, he's like, there's dog feces all over the floor of his apartment. It's just the worst of the worst. It's in Brooklyn, but it's not the Brooklyn like we know today. Mm-hmm. It was the worst. he was arrested like 30 different times. And then this guy comes along, this older dude, Customato, and sees the talent in Mike Tyson at 13 years old and says, I want to get this kid off the streets and I want to make him a boxer before he kills himself or somebody kills him.
Brought him in with his family.
Trains this kid, and gets him on the straight and narrow mostly. But you know what? The way that he grew up, that's in you. Mm-hmm. You can't really break a man of that. So he tried to take care of Mike. Mike did become the heavyweight champion of the world. He was on a high, and then Cuss passed away, and things just went to crap for Mike, man. He just... I don't think he had anybody stable in his life and went through a really bad time with Robin Givens. Remember that?
Yeah,
right?
Mike felt like no one loved him. I mean, he didn't have a relationship with his parents, so he never really had someone who loved him the way that Cuss D'Amato did. And Cuss took him in. He told him, you're going to be world champion. He instilled that confidence in him. And that was the only pure love that Mike really ever felt. So when Cuss passed, Mike was just still trying to find his way. And with all that money, being that young and world champion, he had a lot of people taking advantage of him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, his life was tough ever since.
And he went to jail for a while also, right? And he comes out and he's turned into a better person. He is a better man at 60 years old. He's kind of a outside of boxing, which he hasn't done in years. He's a gentle guy. I told you yesterday. He's raising pigeons on the top of a New York City building. And your story was accurate. I saw that yesterday on how that whole thing started.
Yeah, so Mike's, his ferocity, his ferociousness, as he always calls it, really started when he was younger. There was a guy who was just bullying him. And he always talks about how he got bullied for his voice, for his size at the time. And one of the guys, just for whatever reason, Mike had a pigeon for seemingly no reason at all. This guy comes up to Mike, takes the pigeon from him, and rips the pigeon's head off in front of Mike and then calls him a racial slur. And something happened in Mike to where he was like, that is the last time that somebody's ever going to do something like that to me. And it was the last time somebody ever did something like that to him.
That's where it all started right there.
When you watch the end of the slap video, he left a mark on the side of Jake Paul's face.
Oh, yeah. Sure he tried to play it off. Oh, it was nothing. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
We see your face.
It makes it more interesting, though, of the night of the fight. So I don't know if it was planned or not, but it was a great way to promote the fight,
for
right?
For sure. Either way.
So both of our alarms will go off tonight at 11 o'clock so we can watch a 12 o'clock fight.
Call me to make sure I'm up.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Margaret, our listener Margaret, is so nervous going into the weekend because she and her wife need to ask a friend for something super personal, and they're afraid that they're going to be denied. Hey, Margaret.
Hi. Good. Thanks for having me.
You bet. What's going on this weekend?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, my wife and I are in a little bit of a situation, a little bit of a backstory. We've been married for a few years, and we are ready to start our family.
Congrats.
Which brings me to the question I have for you guys. And I really would appreciate if you guys were honest with your advice.
Let's do it.
All right. I was planning on lying my way through this, but since you made the request, here we go.
Okay. So my wife and I want to approach a really good friend of ours and ask him for his sperm.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
How would you like that delivered?
I was going to say.
It's got to be next day, right?
Right, same day here. Right here, right now?
Huh, okay.
Sorry, Margaret, you have caught us on a really weird day, and we are very, very just immature and a little off-kilter today.
You picked the wrong day for advice. Do they still do those singing telegrams? This would be a good way to request it.
A spermogram?
All right, so give us some backstory here. This is very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my question is really to Mo and Bert. Like, if a friend were to approach you for your sperm, would you be, like, how would you receive that? Would you be offended? How would you react? Like, my head is reeling because I just can't find out think about what the best way to ask is.
You want to take this one first?
Honestly, if someone would ask me this, I wouldn't be offended. I would be flattered. If anything, at the fact that you see me as that kind of a person and you think of me, you think that highly of me as a man, that you would see me want to put me in that position.
They think you are like the genetic lottery.
Right, yeah.
My first question would be, okay, so who turned you down?
Yeah, it's true. Right? Yes. What number am I?
And how many? Right. And secondly, while I would not be offended by it at all, I would be complimented by it. I would also say no. And it's not because I wouldn't want to help you out. even if the rules were like, look, I just need you gunk and I don't need you in my kid's life. I just really respect you. I wouldn't be able to live knowing that there's a kid out there that's mine without being involved.
I wouldn't be able to do it either, but I would not at all be offended by the ask. I don't think you should hesitate.
So, Margaret, what is it about this particular friend that makes him like right for you guys? And what are you expecting from him if he is willing to do this?
Yeah, I mean, like, in my opinion, he's kind of the ideal candidate. I mean, we like the way that he looks, but I mean, that's not everything, obviously. It's like, we also like his health history, what we know of it, and he's really smart, and he's super nice, too. And I just think that we would be thrilled for our kid to have his DNA, and I know how weird that sounds.
It doesn't. No, it really doesn't. Nothing is weird now. Weird. That word shouldn't even exist after the last couple of weeks. Everything is fine.
And as far as his participation?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect him to provide like financially or anything. He could be as involved or uninvolved as he really wants to be. I'll leave that up to him.
Well, here's the thing. If he's as quality a guy as you're saying, I think he's probably going to have the same attitude as Mo and I. Is like, yes, I can do this for you, but I just wouldn't be able to live with myself without like being involved somehow, some way in supporting.
I'm sure there's some other lesbian listeners who we affectionately called La Dollar Beans out there who probably have been in this situation. So 1-855-BIRT-SHOW if you have any advice for Margaret. I mean, is this best asked of a person that is like a close friend of yours, or should you go for somebody that's not as close? Like there's that aspect of it as well. Like, I'm wondering which is, if there even is a better one or not.
For me personally, I probably would feel, I would receive it better from a friend because I feel like they know me and they know exactly what they're asking for. That would be the compliment in it for me. From a stranger, it'd be a little more weird, but either way, I wouldn't be offended.
Yeah, and you guys are really, really tight though, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's like part of my family. What you said is so true. Like, is it weird if he's so close that he's going to be like in, I don't know. Do you ask someone who's not that close? Like, I don't know. Cause what if he says no? And then it's like, oh, okay, cool, cool, cool. Will that change our relationship?
Yeah. I don't think dudes think like this. I think women and guys think very, very differently. This doesn't go on a permanent record. If he's not into it, while you might feel awkward, I don't think he's going to. And I don't think it changes the relationship between the two of you guys.
It wouldn't change my relationship with my friend at all. Not even a little bit.
As long as you don't hold it against him. Because I think it's perfectly okay for you to ask. And I think it's perfectly okay for him to politely decline. So in that instance, as long as... Yeah, I don't think it has to change the relationship.
Here is Burt Show listener Alyssa, who has some advice for you. Good morning. You're on the Burt Show. Thank you.
Good morning. I just wanted to say, it's okay, I think, if you ask him. But for us, we got an anonymous donor, but it was important for us to make sure they were open to when our child turned 18, that our child had the option of, like, creating that relationship with the donor.
So that's a box
they
you can check.
To do with us. Yeah, that is a box you can check, looking for an open donor.
Huh. Okay. Here's David, who has been asked this question. Hey, David, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So, yes, I did have a lesbian couple come to me and ask me about that. It was really a really close friend, a childhood friend. She came to me and asked me about this. And the only thing, I did donate to her, and I did give it to her and stuff like that, but the only thing that I asked, like, when the child grows up and, you know, comes of age and start understanding the world, just, you know, let me talk to her, so to speak.
You'd want her to know that you were her biological father?
In a way, yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Margaret, I think this is the kind of thing that first you go for the ask, right? He's probably not going to give you an answer immediately. So don't think you're going to be able to close this thing up this weekend, although I'm very invested in what he says and how he reacts. But also, get rid of the word weird, okay? Yeah. I hate that word. Look, you got to go through life, and you only do this thing one time, and I'm watching everybody do the same thing as everybody else, and everybody's miserable. So forget about, like, the traditions and the rituals and what's weird and what's not. You get to pave your own way in this life, so forget about all that. Mm. Go make the ask, you know?
100%.
And I would actually be like, instead of asking, will you do this, be like, hey, I have something I would like for you to think about, because I think that's a more polite way, because obviously this is a huge decision. It's not like asking, hey, do you want me to supersize that? Like, you're asking him to...
is that like, what does that mean? Like two sessions? Three? I mean, he didn't get right the first time. So.
Maybe that was the bad analogy to use. But yeah, be like, hey, I have something really important I want you to think about, and then present it in that manner.
Don't go in there all nervous that this is going to change the relationship forever. I do not think it will. Go in there and be genuine like you were with us, and I think it's going to be great.
Personally, I think the spermogram is the way to go, but, you know, an adult conversation never hurts. Does Hallmark have a card for this? Probably.
Hey, Margaret, will you call us back on Monday after you do that and let us know how it went? I'm very invested.
Yeah, thanks, guys, so much for your advice. You made me feel, like, a lot more safe about this.
Good. Go get your gunk, girl.
I love how she said you guys gave me a lot more faith, even though Mo and Bert, you both said, yeah, that's cool, but no, we're not giving it to you.
You can ask.
Hey, The Bert Show.
So the question becomes, if you could keep a celebrity out of your hometown, who would it be?
Anna Kendrick.
Anna Kendrick?
Yeah.
No.
What?
I will accept no Anna Kendrick slander.
Sweetest little thing.
This is the hottest take ever, but there is some... Honestly, I think it's because the Cups song was like my... It was my sleeper activation, like my sleeper agent activation sound. Ever since I heard that sound, there has been something inside me. I don't know what she's ordering me to do, but one day I'm going to find out. I can't take it. And we film a lot in Atlanta, so if I can just keep her out of Atlanta for like 10 years to like stop inflicting her music on me.
Yep.
Oh, she's in so many musicals.
I am so against this. Do you guys have a celebrity that you think that if you met, you guys would have a decent chemistry? Like, okay, maybe we could go to Cheesecake Factory together.
Heather McMahon.
No, I'm talking about like a romantic chemistry.
Heather McMahon.
Fair enough. You guys have one?
Romantic?
Yeah. There'd be a chemistry there that you'd have to like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm in a relationship with somebody else.
Yeah, Rihanna.
Now, is that wishful thinking, or she said things like in interviews where like, she's like me?
No, I really do think we would have a good chemistry, just sincerely.
For me, I think it's Glenn Powell, easily. Powell. Yeah. I think me and him would get on really, really well.
And it has nothing to do with how awesome looking he is.
It has nothing to do with his hotness. It's totally to do with his personality. And he just seems like a good dude. He seems like a good down-home guy who just loves football and the Texas Longhorns and beer and country music.
That person is Anna Kendrick for me.
Wow.
Yeah, I think if we met, we'd be like, hey, this is cool. Let's go have lunch together.
All so right. You and Rebecca about to go outside and
yeah,
fight?
Yeah.
There's just something sinister about her spirit.
Sinister? What is sinister?
I know. She's so amazing.
Didn't she just give all the money that she made from that one movie and gave it away? Yeah. Like
For domestic violence?
Yeah.
To Rain and another organization. She gave her profits to an organization that's going to help people. Rebecca?
Yeah, what's she covering for?
What's the name of that movie that we were talking
about? Woman of the Hour.
That's right. All the money that she made for that. She's like, no, I'm giving it away. That's the kind of woman you want in your hometown, man.
So amazing. So, yeah, you asked the question because the most Atlanta celebrity ever is being officially banished for the next 10 years. Young Thug, Mr. Slime himself, a word that he no longer can use. He's banned from using the words slime and slat. He has been banished from Atlanta for 10 years after pleading guilty for gang conspiracy, which does sound bad, and racketeering.
In most cases. Yeah.
See, that's sinister. Anna Kendrick starring in a movie about singing with cups is not sinister.
Right. It's racketeering, but not in the good way.
Well, what is racketeering? I feel like a judge couldn't even tell me what racketeering is.
Isn't it like bribery and stuff?
I had to Google it last time we talked about Diddy.
Cassie,
I don't know. I dated a guy that got charged with it, but I don't remember what it was. Whoa. It's engaging in a pattern of illegal scheming and activity for profit.
Okay.
So it's like bookies and things of that nature.
All right.
Anyway, Anna Kendrick didn't sing Lifestyle, so that's all I gotta say.
Lifestyle was a bop. I put you on that. Every word to the song. Lifestyle, the only word I know.
So he was given 48 hours to vacate the city for the next decade as a part of a plea deal that let him leave jail that day.
What? Like, that's a thing? You can do that?
Right, so we don't want your badness in this city, but go ahead, go to Charlotte.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That's not in Orlando.
Right.
He's not allowed in the metro Atlanta area, which does kind of beg the question, like, can he live in, like, I don't know, like...
Woodstock?
Yeah.
I can't see it.
So Atlanta gave him a restraining order, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
He's been banished.
I did not even know that was a thing, that you could do that.
It's like, this is Pride Rock. Yeah. And you have to leave forever. Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't help but wonder, I'm making all of you... queen or king of your hometown.
Yep.
What celebrity are you officially banning for the next decade and why?
Well, mine's easy and it's a bit of a stretch, and I'm going to use Atlanta, not my hometown where I grew up, in San Diego. Atlanta, and that, I mean, Atlanta is Diddy's second home. Mm. Yeah, mansions here. He was here all the time. So I don't care what happens when that dude gets out of jail. You are not allowed here ever. The whole state of Georgia. Okay.
Well, because I'm a New Yorker, that was my initial thought, was to go with Diddy. But if
we can take two.
No, it's fine.
Two states.
No, because if it's not Diddy, it's definitely Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Oh, yeah.
He has to go. I hate that he's from New York. Got it. Boo for him.
Now, I know you're going to be shocked. There are actually celebrities who hail from Lexington, Kentucky, my hometown.
Who? Not a basketball player.
George Clooney.
Really?
Yes, he is. Yeah, Rosemary Clooney is also from the area, and his mother was a Lexington City Councilwoman. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's the best you have. You can't ban him.
Jim Varney. Ernest P. Worrell.
Oh, Ernest?
Ernest! Chris Stapleton.
Okay.
Country singer Chris Stapleton.
All right.
And then Kevin Richardson from the Backstreet Boys.
All right, so of the four, who are you throwing out of Lexington?
We can't afford to throw anybody.
is Varney still with us, or did he leave you before you left us?
He left us.
Okay, yes. So that's an easy pick.
No, it's not. He went to the same high school as me.
He exiled himself.
Yeah.
He exiled himself.
No, he went to the same high school as me. He graduated from Lafayette High School, and he actually had a friend named Burn, because you know how in this movies you always know, you know what I mean, Burn?
That's such a cool fact.
So I'm not kicking anybody out.
You have to.
No, I'm not.
You have to.
You might as well. He's not going to feel
it. Yeah. You're not going to be offended. The estate of Varney is going to, like, be upset at you.
I can't do it to Ernest. Go, Abby. So I looked up.
He's dead. He banished himself, like Cassie said.
I don't want to be haunted by the ghost of Ernest P. Worrell. So I looked up famous people from Jacksonville, Florida. Yes. And to nobody's surprise, there's nobody famous from Jacksonville, Florida.
None? There are more celebrities out of Lexington than there are Jacksonville?
Yes.
Monroe, Louisiana even has a celeb.
Yeah. We have Tim Tebow, and that's about it. And I don't want God to hate me, so I'm not kicking Tim Tebow out of Jacksonville. The only other people, according to the internet, that are from Jacksonville, Florida that are famous are Ashley Green, who played Alice Cullen from the Twilight adaptations.
That's legit.
But I loved Twilight. I don't want to kick her out. Leonard Skinnerd. I don't have beef with Leonard Skinnerd.
Did you say there are no celebs from Jacksonville, and then you went on to mention Leonard Skinnerd?
Well, okay, then let me
cook. That's a pretty big deal.
That's a huge deal. Pat Boone, teen idol from the 1950s and 60s.
Whales, cool.
Molly Hatchet, who toured with Aerosmith. Alan Collins and Bob Ross, who grew up in Orlando.
Bob Ross?
Oh, you can never.
No, I love, he's so relaxing. Who am I supposed to kick out of Jacksonville?
You know, Lil Duval? Y'all don't know Lil Duval?
Mm-mm.
He's a famous comedian. He's from Jacksonville.
Do we not like him?
I mean, if you don't know him, you might as well kick him out.
Bye, Lil Duval. No. See you never. Kick out Pat Boone, because Pat is 90 and is not going to have any idea what you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, but you won't kick out a dead guy.
No.
You'd rather kick a 90-year-old out than a dead guy?
Yes. I don't want to be haunted by the ghost of teen idol Pat Boone from the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, I'll tell you who I'm kicking out. Parker Posey. It's the only celeb from Monroe. And I'll tell you why I'm kicking her out. Because she is too good for that town and she does not need to be there.
She needs to be. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think it's funny how the guys are just ready immediately to ban somebody. And the women are like, oh no, I can't do that. That would hurt the dead guy's feelings. It's the Burt Show.
Hey, the Burt Show.
Mo joined the show and Katie got more involved on the show. I had no idea how little the priority of hygiene is for the whites. And it's bothering me.
It's quite different. And Kevin Hart was doing an interview with Chelsea Handler.
Hold on, because this all started, I mean, a long time ago with the whole washcloth thing.
Yes, yeah. When I was watching the show Atlanta, yeah. There was multiple jokes about how white people don't have washcloths. I was perplexed by this because we are a white household that does believe in the usage of washcloths. So I brought it to the show. I'm like, is this a thing? And sure enough, tis what.
We should start an organization, Caucasians for Washcloths.
Yeah, I know there's a viral video right now that's about 5 minutes long of just white people saying how disgusting people who use washcloths are.
I had no idea it was even a thing until we brought that up on the show. I thought everybody used washcloths.
I did
had
too.
No idea that it was such a controversial discussion.
Which it all started making sense to me when I started traveling more and realized, like, most of the places I go, there are never any washcloths. And sometimes, even when you ask for them, they don't have them. They don't even know what you're talking about.
There was, and it was shortly after that conversation, I went somewhere, staying at an Airbnb, and I had to take a video, and I sent it to Mo, and I'm like, no washcloths. Oh, God. And I went and I looked at the profile of the Airbnb person. They white. Yeah.
One of the dudes that Trump just assigned to the White House, I think it's the Secretary of Defense, says he hasn't washed his hands in 10 years.
Yeah, he doesn't believe in germs.
Doesn't believe in germs.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
He's a walking germ. He should believe it. Yes. He should believe in it.
The whites.
Ooh, wow. Now, if nobody wants to shake his hand, he can't get mad.
So these conversations and similar conversations of how the differences of our cultures come full circle when Kevin Hart is having this conversation with Chelsea Handler, which was actually a really good interview, and it's pretty funny. And one of the differences that came up was how different we are with the way that we treat our dogs.
But I just wanted to back up. The dog diverter is in is in their shower.
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure I heard that correctly.
Yes. And the only one in the house.
The only one.
So they make sure guaranteed to be sprayed in the face.
Got it. Got
so
it.
So the dog
it.
Takes the shower with the couple.
Got it.
Or in the same shower as the couple.
Yeah, same shower. Just gonna,
that's a bigger
family
question.
Bath.
One more guess. I'm going to guess that these people are white. If I had to guess.
Okay.
Why do you say that? Why are you being discriminatory? Feels a little racist.
As a matter of fact, I'm willing to bet the farm on this one.
Why would you say that white people would have why? Because black people what?
The dogs. The dog is probably showering with a hose outside. There's no such thing as a diverter in a black household, especially not in the one bathroom in the house. Get that goddamn dog outside and go get that out there. Put that dog in the bucket. And figure it out? Yeah, that's what it is.
It is so true.
It's very true.
You don't let your dog sleep in the bed.
So that's two distinct differences, apparently, between our cultures. That, yeah, I have never heard of showering with your dog or even putting your dog in the shower. Or I know the bed one is more popular because typically most of my black friends that I know that have dogs would never let their dogs in the bed.
I have washed my dogs in the shower, mostly the bathtub. In a bathtub I don't use, but never in the shower. Yeah, I have done it in the shower with me. I have, not my current dog, but I have, yeah.
If there was an accident, it happened in the shower/tub, but that's been before I even lived here. We don't put the dogs in the shower. We do a mobile grooming or take them to the groomers. Like, that's where they get their baths.
All right.
But I readily admit that they don't sleep in the bed with us anymore. But if they want to be up in the bed, that's totally fine. I have no qualms with the dogs being in the bed.
We've had Amanda's dog sleeping with us in my bed just because the dog refuses to sleep by itself. So it's on the corner of the bed. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's in there.
That's so
gross. Do you know what's on dog paws?
Right.
E. coli, feces, well, parasites.
And love.
Yeah, I've got the same problem with the man. She's got all the same things.
Well, that makes sense. That's your type. Got it.
Then you're going to hate that, like, every now and then I'll see Willie laying on the couch, and he's got these long, long legs, and I see that paw, and it's just staring at me, and I just have to grab it and go...
Gorgeous feet are best.
This was only half of the conversation, though. Right. It goes on.
So that one I didn't think might offend you guys, but this one I feel like I might have to defend, or maybe not. We'll see. But Chelsea Handler claims that when washing herself, you only really got to hit the hot spots.
No hot spots.
It's the ghost of Tommy.
Okay. Well, yeah, she said in washing, because Kevin Hart brought up the fact that a lot of white people don't wash your legs, and he wanted to know, like, why? Mm-hmm. What is that about? Your legs are a part of your body. Why do you feel like your legs don't get dirty? And then that's when she said, well, Kevin, you only have to hit the hot spots.
Right.
In which you can imagine his disgust of saying, what do you mean? You don't have hot spots. You just wash your whole body.
You know who else has said this recently? Jason Kelce.
Oh, yeah, he did say this.
It was a freaking football player.
What?
Yeah, you got to scrub. If you're rolling in literal dirt, if a grown man is covering his body with yours and tackling you to the ground, for the love of God, get some Jergens on your skin and scrub.
He said because the soapy water runs down him and to his feet, he doesn't have to wash his feet. That and that's disgusting.
That is very disgusting. Yeah. That is not why. You should not have any hot spots. Every spot is hot. All right? Get all the spots.
I agree. I don't know when this was all exposed, but this is terrible.
It's disgusting.
This is terrible. I'm a white person, and I do not approve this message.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The girls are fighting on the internet, according to Drop Pop Net on X/Twitter, whatever you want to call it, because there's some screenshots going around of Lizzo and Lana Del Rey getting into a little tiff in the comments section of a video where Lana Del Rey is featured. So people are getting all up in arms in this. So the photo shows Lizzo with the blue check mark. She says, "I'd like to see you back on the charts," to Lana Del Rey. Now, most people took this as shade. Like, oh, I'd like to see you back on the charts. You're not working. I'm a pop star. I'm also on the charts. We need to see Lana Del Rey, like, back on the charts, like, you know, working hard. And so then Lana Del Rey, with the blue check mark, says, "I would love to see you run on a treadmill."
No.
Which people were like, what?
That is wild.
Wild. Yeah, that's a wild thing to say in public.
Now, did she claim that she said that?
Let me cook.
Okay.
Let me cook.
Because I'm hearing Jackson in my head with the statistics that he gave us earlier this morning.
Yep. The story's
about
story's not done. Okay. So then Lizzo, again, in this same thread, responds to Lana Del Rey and makes a comment about this man that she just married in Louisiana, who's like an alligator
wrangler
or something. He's like Steve Irwin, but in Louisiana. And so Lizzo says, "I hope that alligator eats your big ass."
Damn.
Oh, my God.
We're not done, because Lana then goes for the jugular. Ooh-hoo. Lana says, this isn't funny, but yeah, I don't know how you're going to take it. Lana Del Rey says, "You know about eating Biggie."
This goes with the same fact we've been saying for years and years and years, that when two dudes get into a fight physically at a bar, we're hoping people break it up. When women get into a fight with each other, it's way more vicious.
Yeah, they hitting way, way, way below.
So these screenshots went crazy viral. And I was even looking at the threads like, someone's got to debunk this. Like, someone's got to tell me that this is not a real thing that's happening. And it wasn't until this morning that somebody posted an article that said, "Y'all, Drop Pop is a parody account on X and you guys are all taking it literally."
Thank God.
These were photoshopped responses that were not said by Lizzo and were not said by Lana Del Rey. In fact,
hallelujah.
Lana Del Rey even came out and said, "I don't have a TikTok, so that's not, literally couldn't be me. It literally couldn't be me." She's only got Instagram, I think.
You know, I know it's a sensational story and all, but it really is. What we've been preaching for the last week and a half now is that you don't know what to believe online anymore and what you should believe. It's all, it feels all a manipulation.
I am begging people, begging you, before you retweet, before you repost, before you send stuff just out into the world, check your source. Just take an extra 15 seconds and check your source and make sure it's not a satire account, a parody account, or whatever, because you are just spreading mad incorrect information.
But with the technology now, man, with AI, like I follow an account and I know it's a parody account where it's football players in a press conference after the game ripping on their own team and their own players, using cuss words and making funny jokes. But the way that AI is producing it now, it looks like the actual player is saying that in the press conference. It's impossible to tell.
Yeah, a lot of those parody accounts on X, that's why I see them a lot. They'll catch me. They catch me a lot. And if you don't actually click on your profile to go see or in the bio that it's a parody account, you'd have no idea. You gotta be super careful today.
Yeah, all you do is see it in your timeline. So I'm almost wondering if Lizzo or Lana Del Rey are gonna come out and like have some kind of legal action, because for a good bit yesterday, like we were in the middle of recording our podcast yesterday for Personality Hires, and I'm literally looking at my Twitter going, Rebecca, have you seen this? The girls are fighting. Like Rebecca or Lana Del Rey and Lizzo are like going back and forth, and then finally you see it all come out like via an article and someone being like, hello, did anyone see the fact that this is a parody? So thank God that that's out there, because I was upset. I love both of them. I didn't want them to fight. Okay, Hoda Kotb, her replacement for the Today Show has been announced. We finally know who is going to take her place on the Today Show.
As you mentioned, we have a lot to celebrate.
Yes.
Because though you are irreplaceable in our hearts, we are so excited about the news in our Today family. And that is the person sitting right next to me, our dear friend and talented, wonderful, hardworking, most worthy of this, Craig Melvin is the new anchor of the Today Show. Woo!
So this isn't a new face to the Today Show. We've seen him before, obviously. He's a beloved member of the cast. So her final date is set to be on January 10th. And as for Jenna Bush Hager, who is her co-host for the fourth hour of the Today Show, they've rebranded it to Jenna and Friends. So it looks like they're going to have like a rotating cast of guest stars. And that's probably how they're going to pick whoever's going to be the next guest host, which is whoever gets like the most traction from that whole shtick. All right, Mike Tyson, he is currently going to be fighting Jake Paul. But what does he want his legacy to be? I think you're going to be surprised by his answer on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.